process of having that meeting has already begun, so I look forward to that meeting at the earliest opportunity. And I absolutely recognize and respect that there are a broad range of issues to be discussed. It is about large number of things that are with respect to Alberta. If any of those issues, and many of them do, touch Treaty 6, 7, 8 rights holders, other rights holders in Alberta, of course, that consultation has to happen. I'm telling you, baby, they're
rocking to the oil-patch blues. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. That, by the way, just a short clip of Mark Carney, and we're going to talk about his address to the Assembly of First Nations coming up in just a little bit. Tip of the hat to the our friends at the Saskatoon Food Bank. They kicked off their Light It Up campaign. They do this every year. They kicked it off yesterday during Giving Tuesday. They started off with a nice, I think they got a $10,000 donation from UFCW Canada. So the union gave them a chunk of change there to get them started. But this is one of many great fundraisers that happen around Christmas time. Light It Up always does a great job. So, support our friends at the Saskatoon Food Bank and Learning Center. And, of course, you can find them online. SaskatoonFoodBank.org is their website if you want to get involved. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on today. Kuzma, I will mention very quickly, because the Canada-US-Mexico agreement that we now affectionately know as Kuzma has been great for Canada, especially through some of these trade and tariff discussions. Over 85% of exports to the United States are tariff-free because of Kuzma. Now, the deal is up for joint review, as we know, in 2026. So that's coming up pretty quick. All three countries have launched what they're calling a consultation process ahead of the renegotiation. And right now, there is in-person testimony happening at the U.S. Trade Representative hearings in Washington, D.C. Starts up this morning. In fact, it's going as we speak and will go for the next 3 days. They're bringing in witnesses. They're gathering information, ultimately to inform Congress, which will really probably shape Donald Trump's approach to what next year's renegotiation talks look like. The Future Borders Coalition, remember Laura Dawson? We had her on the program once before talking about the trade issues and the border crossing issues and those types of things. Well, she's part of the Future Borders Coalition. They are front and center in this discussion. So it's our hope that we'll be able to get Laura on the show next week to talk about how these hearings went. It feels to me, it's safe to say, Kuzma, there will be some sort of an agreement coming out of this. I venture to say it probably won't look the same. There will be a new shape to it. There's talks about special, you know, carve outs between the states and Mexico or the states and Canada. With Donald Trump being part of this negotiation, you know it's going to look a little bit different. But I'm going to remain optimistic that we're going to get there, and we will see the light at the end of the tunnel once these Kuzma negotiations get going. That said, let's not forget we don't have an agreement with the United States yet. We're still waiting, fingers tapping on the countertop, still waiting for the agreement between Canada and the United States. Mark Carney, of course, last week or about a week and a half ago, hinting that, yeah, at this point, we don't have anything to talk about. I would argue there's stuff to talk about. Nonetheless, let's hope that we can get some sort of a sense moving forward, even ahead of the Kuzma deal. But maybe that will probably give us an indication of where things are going to land there. Okay, phone lines are open for you, 1-877-332-8255. Text lines open as well. I spent about an hour and a half yesterday afternoon watching Prime Minister Mark Carney's address to the Assembly of First Nations. He spoke to them. He gave a speech. Then he sat down and took questions. And different First Nations leaders could come to the microphones from literally all over this country and ask questions. FSIN Chief Bobby Cameron there and asked some questions at the microphone. I have to say, well, I'll say a couple of things. Number one, I thought FSIN Chief Bobby Cameron was the most respectful leader that went to the microphone. He, you know, opened the door to further dialogue and collaboration and invited sitting down and meeting. In fact, he invited the Prime Minister to the FSIN meetings in March coming up of next year. So I appreciated that about Chief Cameron when he went to the microphone. I don't know that I'm overly impressed so far with what I've heard from their national chief, Cindy Woodhouse-Nipinak. She took over, of course, from Perry Bellegarde, who I'll admit is someone I considered a friend. He's from Saskatchewan, in fact, born and raised in the same part of the province as I was. So I've known Perry for quite some time. I also know David Pratt very well, who put his name forward for that national chief position and ultimately lost out to Cindy Woodhouse-Nipinak. But here's the thing. Like him or not, Prime Minister Mark Carney yesterday delivered a message to the Assembly of First Nations that I thought was, it absolutely showed the federal government's intention in sitting down and working with First Nations on nation building projects. He talked about that is not a can do, that is a shall do, that is baked into the legislation. He talked about C5. He talked about where things are at with this pipeline deal that they just signed with Alberta, a long ways away from being at the point where shovels are going in the ground. And so that right to consult that the AFN is looking for is there. And the Prime Minister did a very clear job of articulating that yesterday. I listened after the speeches were done, after the questions were done. The AFN national chief was on with Bashi Kapelos and had this to say about the federal government and what the kind of their role in these national projects should look like.
It shows the country that, you know, Canada, the provinces, they can make however many MOUs that they want. They can make advisory groups all that they want. They can make, you know, major projects offices all they want. But there's, I think one thing is clear today, you won't get around rights holders. So the most important relationship in this country, you know, needs to be building that relationship between the foundational partners, which is First Nations people, and, you know, and the country and Canada itself. So we're here, we're ready to work. We've always worked to try and build up this country. You know, in every single world war, we've been, you know, the first to the front line. We're, you know, during the pandemic, First Nations led that. And now even against Trump, we're all united against Trump's illegal tariff, and we stand with Canada. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we create a better country for everyone, including especially First Nations children on reserves that sometimes you look that don't have basic things like running water or proper roads, or access to health facilities like every other Canadian does. So I know that they're uncomfortable conversations, but they're the truth, and we have to make sure that everyone in this country is moving forward together.
So, you know, she makes those comments. You're not going to get around rights holders in this country right after the Prime Minister said, we're absolutely not trying to get around rights holders. We're more than happy to work with rights holders. That is part of the process. I just don't like her tone. I don't like her attitude on this. This whole crossing of the arms. Don't forget, yesterday, the Assembly of First Nations adopted a resolution calling for the immediate withdrawal of a memorandum of understanding signed between Ottawa and Alberta. So they're saying negate the deal. I'm frustrated with David Eby, the Premier of BC, who of course has got all of this political stuff behind him. I get it. But I'm now equally frustrated with the Assembly of First Nations, because let's not forget something. There are First Nation groups, some from Alberta, that are in favor of this pipeline, that are stand to benefit economically, significantly from this pipeline. So how about just a collaborative approach? And again, I'm going to go back to my comments. FSIN Chief Bobby Cameron made comments that indicated this willingness to sit down and have a collaborative approach to it. I just feel like that's the way to go. So, you know, we talk about, is this pipeline going to get built? You know, you listen to the Assembly of First Nations yesterday, it's not going to. And so I don't know how you at one time say, we're all about standing up and being part of Canada and building our nation, but then cross your arms and put a roadblock up on something else. Like, let's just open the dialogue. Let's just talk. 1-877-332-8255. What's on your mind? What would you like? What would you like to talk about? I'm happy to go there. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open as well. I noticed a few text messages coming in saying they don't feel as though this pipeline is ever going to, this pipeline is ever going to get done. This country is weak because of jealousy, greed, and bickering. There's always a part of it that thinks it can get something more out of it by disagreeing. One text. First Nations, in this case, believe consultation means permission. They demand money and demand no development at the same time. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts. I know it's political. Like, I know it's political. There's a few people on the text line suggesting, like, come on, Evan, when there's politics involved, you can't. I mean, I get it. I think I would just like to hear a leader. They had just adopted this withdrawal resolution, calling on the federal government to withdraw the MOU that they signed with Alberta. Shut it down. Crumple it up and throw it in the garbage. Yet there are First Nation groups that are supporting this pipeline. I don't know. I don't get it, and I'm frustrated by it. I'm frustrated by it because this pipeline, I'm not suggesting it's the be-all, end-all. And don't forget, there's a lot of things baked into that MOU that don't have to do with just this pipeline, right? Not just the bitumen pipeline that's going to BC. There's a lot of other things in there. Technology, artificial intelligence, a whole bunch of things. Anyway, 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts. Here's a text. The National Chief's first comment after she was elected, watch out, Canada, we're coming for you. She wants money, 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 but refuses to allow Canada to do anything that makes that money. Here's what I will say. Absolutely, we should have available fresh drinking water to every Canadian. And we have First Nations that don't have that. That's got to be fixed. That should be prioritized immediately. Housing, safety on First Nations. Those things are foundational, absolutely. And they need to be dealt with. And I would never, it's not my job or anyone's to stand in the way of communities that are without those things. That needs to happen. It just feels to me like we've got people, and I'm going to point at the BC Premier again, who are proud to stand up and say, rah, rah, Canada, until it doesn't go the way they like. And then all of a sudden they're building the wall. 1-877-332-8255. Yes, lots of texts. It's all about money. I get it. It's all about money. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. There's a lot of things we can talk about. Randy and Dundurn, let's talk about what? You want to talk about the Mosaic announcement yesterday?
Yeah, if you want to talk about building Canada, there's something right there in regards to building Canada. I don't know, Evan, if you've watched following Twitter, but I've never seen so many ads from the different mines in northern Canada looking for workers to train. And from the Gacho guy, diamond mine, to the mine in Flin Flon with 4N, and some of the mines in northern Ontario and stuff. And that's been our problem. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, our Saskatchewan farm kids and Alberta farm kids, we were the source of workers for the great Canadian oil sands and the different mines in northern Canada. Now we're educating kids that are coming out of school with university with gender studies and sociology degrees and stuff when we need workers and trades. And so the Mosaic announcement is something that is greatly needed. And when we talk about building Canada, we need to build the roads to get into those critical mines and things and build at great neck speed, which I'm not seeing happening. We're still seeing money going overseas for different gender things and those kind of things. But we need to develop the trades like they do in Korea, Japan, and China to build up that source of workers to help build Canada. Mm-hmm. And it means First Nations as well. They need to get on board instead of delaying and stopping projects, is getting on board to get their people working in those different trades like they do in northern Saskatchewan with Cameco and our other diamond mine there.
It's great points, Randy. And part of that Mosaic announcement yesterday was continuing the funding of the potash mining readiness program, which is training Indigenous students. It's focused on the relaunch of that in early 2026, training Indigenous students for operation roles in Esterhazy and in the mining sector in general. So great point. One more quick call before our first break, but open lines going right until 10 o'clock. Howie in Saskatoon, on the pipeline, is it going to get built?
Well, just to give you a quick recap of who I am, I'm from Calgary. I'm just down here working in Saskatoon, but I grew up in Saskatoon.
Okay.
And I think the pipeline needs to get built, but I think the First Nations is just like the rest of us. There's so many people that want it, so many people don't. They're really, it's no different. The level of information that we all have is different. So there's so many people that think it's good, so many people think it's bad, and it's the same for them. There's all kinds of people want it, but you're not going to have everybody wanting it.
Right.
So, you know, we got to come to figure out a way to do it without insulting the rest of the country, but get it done. And then they can, at least we can all reap the benefits of it, and we can discuss why it was good or bad later, but we'll all be living better.
I think that, I mean, what you just said, Howie, makes complete sense to me, right? This is not just sign on the dotted line and walk away. There's lots to consider here, but you just there in your short 1.5 minutes showed a willingness to say, let's just sit down and figure out something that works for everyone. I like that. I don't like a resolution that says, throw it in the garbage. That doesn't show a willingness to sit down and talk about it. 1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
No time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
The only choice that we were left was to file an injunction against the city to stop them from this behavior and to attempt to force them to talk to us. We've been told by counselors there's just no appetite to talk about this. It doesn't sit well with us. We are going to keep pushing forward until we get the answers that we need and that we are legitimately entitled to.
It's been a long,
water meters continuing to cause a problem in Regina. It's something that council has been talking about and dealing with for quite some time. If I summarize the texts that are coming in, it's basically people frustrated in general with people in this country who are holding the rest of the country hostage on projects. And some people are citing Premier Mo has said there are projects that will need the permission to run through Saskatchewan that may have little to no benefit to Saskatchewan, but we have a right as a province, or a responsibility, maybe a better word, to help those projects along, as long as it's obviously not harmful to the province. We have a responsibility to do that as part of being part of the country. And yet there are lots of people who don't want to play on the sandbox, and that's what we're talking about with this topic of the pipeline. Okay. I'm going to suggest we switch to this notion that religion is no excuse for hate. I know I saw a couple of texts on this yesterday. I know it's going to get some thoughts on it. My question is, should religion give you a pass on hate speech / criminal behavior? I know there'll be thoughts on this. We'll talk about this when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Where is my mind? Where is my mind?
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray, on this Wednesday morning. And we are in the middle, smack dab in the middle of open lines, 1-877-332-8255. We were talking about essentially whether this pipeline is going to get built. Yesterday, the Assembly of First Nations said they basically agreed as a group, passed a resolution to call for the immediate withdrawal of the MOU signed between Ottawa and Alberta, and appreciate everyone's discussion and thoughts on that. Okay, yesterday we chatted just a little bit about Mark Miller, and the question was, is this newly appointed cabinet minister better than Stephen Guilbeault? It's kind of where I was going, because I mean, I have made no bones about the fact that I wasn't a Stephen Guilbeault fan. So I'm saying, hey, anybody's better than him. Some people saying, no, Mark Miller's not better, and listing off reasons why they think that way. One of the reasons was this discussion that is happening right now about whether or not religion as a protection should be removed from the hate speech legislation. So this is a topic of discussion that has been going on. The Parliamentary Justice Committee is looking at amendments that are expected to come forward to remove the religious defense that exists for the offense of willful promotion of hatred. So this is a deal that's been struck between the Liberals and the Bloc Québécois to amend Bill C-9, known as the Combating Hate Act, which we have talked about on this program, and there's lots of problems with it. I'm not going to disagree with that. Tons of problems with this that potentially step in the way of free speech, step in the way of constitutional rights, and it's a long ways from being enacted. But here's the topic. Critics have raised concerns about the bill in question for its proposals to create new intimidation and obstruction offenses when civil liberties and other advocates raise the risk of police action against lawful demonstrations because the protest may be disruptive or offensive. So that whole part of it, let's just set it aside for now. Let's set that aside and let's talk about the section in question today, which permits the basically hateful or anti-Semitic speech if the speaker expresses in good faith an opinion based on a belief in a religious text. The defense specifically applies to the offense that the willful promotion of hatred and the promotion of anti-Semitism, which is criminal law defines as condoning, denying, or downplaying the Holocaust. So if the change happens to the legislation, it basically means if you are being investigated, accused of promoting hatred or committing a crime under the criminal code that has to do with hate speech, you can't hide behind a religious defense. I have a tough time arguing with that. Now, I know there will be people that right now are rage texting me based on saying that. The conservatives have come out calling this an assault on the freedom of expression and religion. I'm Christian. Born Christian, raised Christian in the church, baptized Christian. I also believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion. I believe in all of that. But I don't care what religion we're talking about, Christianity, Islam, Judaism. Should you, because of your religion, be given a pass on criminal behavior? My answer is no. I can't think of a time where you can say it's okay for me to have committed this crime, promoting hatred under the definition of the criminal code. It's okay for me to do that because of my religion. I can't think of an example where that's okay. We see wars, especially look at what's going on in the Middle East right now. Tell me that's not steeped in religion. It is. And often we as Canadians are guilty of saying newcomers to Canada, don't bring your beefs to our country. Don't bring the problems from your country, whether it's halfway around the world or wherever, to our country. Religion is the cause of how many wars in the history of the world. And again, this is not me speaking against religion. I'm with you on it. I just don't know a case where religion should give you a pass for criminal behavior. Am I completely out to lunch? I'm assuming some of you probably think that I am. 1-877-332-8255. Should religion give you a free pass on hate speech? No, it should not. Colin out of Mooseman. 1-877-332-8255. Matt in Melfort, religion should not give you a pass for hate or more specific intimidation or public shutdowns of roads. Ontario, City of Toronto, federal government has had to shut down with Palestine protests, smoke bombs, street shutdown, chanting in the neighborhoods. This is not acceptable. And thanks for the text, Matt. And we have seen in some cases charges laid, right? We have seen that charges laid. Some of them didn't stick. many of them didn't stick. But it you know, should religion be a defense and justify your ability to commit a crime constituted by hate speech? Should it be your escape route? Should it be your parachute? 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to, where am I going? Larry in Saskatoon. Larry, thanks so much for calling in. Your thoughts on this discussion about removing that religious protection when it comes to hate speech?
I think the answer to the problem is free speech is the antidote to hate speech. We need to have a free and open discussion about the religions in question. We can talk about shamanism, which is the, we would say, the indigenous people and the more primitive people in the civilization have. And there's something that, you know, we would find interesting and attractive about that. We can talk about what the next one would be, Judaism, 3,500 years, and what that has meant to our civilization, Christianity. And then last one, foreign, was Islam, the ones in question. Of course, there are others. So, and then we can decide because, well, there's politics, but politics is downstream from culture, and culture is downstream from religion. And we know that we were formed under Judeo-Christian belief system. Individual rights. That's the Charter of Rights. It doesn't say Charter of Privileges. The courts have been trying to change into privileges, but do we agree with that? Now, so there are people, and let's do the old Christian thing that people don't hear much about anymore. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. So let's have just a free and open discussion. Let's learn about all those religions, what they advocate, and let's see what is compatible, what the people of Canada want.
Okay. Larry, thanks for starting off the conversation. 1-877-332-8255. I got Jack next on the phone. Jack, thanks for calling in. I'm asking the question, and I know it's pretty simplified, but should religion give you a pass on criminal behavior?
I don't think there's any pass on this whole debate. We have principles in all kinds of diversity in religious teaching about God is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let those with sin cast the first stones, etc. So I don't think there's any debate on this question whatsoever. You're either practicing your religious teachings and behaving in a cooperative, supportive, inclusive manner, or you're not.
1-877-332-8255. Jack, thanks for the call. Text line open for you as well. Kevin at Regina Beach says, I agree, it's no excuse for hate speech. However, if the next change is forcing people to step into areas, and he's talking about LGBTQ issues and teaching younger children and whatever, I'm going to say, Kevin, that's blurring the lines, right? I mean, we can get into gender and sexual diversity in a conversation for sure. What I'm saying is, if you just look at the criminal code, let me put it a different way. You can't threaten someone. Bodily harm, to kill, whatever. You can't. There's a criminal code offense for threatening someone. There is no way you can say, it's okay, I threatened to kill that person or seriously wound that person. It's okay, I'm protected because of my religious beliefs. It doesn't protect you from the criminal charge of threatening. I just don't see how it could. I can't think of an example where religion should be your defense to promoting hate or committing a hate crime, maybe is a better way of putting it. 1-877-332-8255. A truly faith-based person would not hate those of different opinions. It's a slippery slope to regulate what people say because the definition of hate is different for everyone. Julian Battleford, for sure. I'm sticking to, for the purposes of this, my backstop is the criminal code definition. right? So I'm not just talking about saying something negative about someone on social media because of religious persuasion or whatever. I'm talking about hate speech, something that would constitute the criminal charge. 1-877-332-8255. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots of texts coming in. Appreciate everyone's thoughts on this, and I'm going to get to as many texts as I can. We'll take a break. We'll come back and finish up our open lines here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOA. Then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all. Welcome back to the program, Evan Bray. We're having a conversation on essentially this discussion around a change to legislation. Where they are talking about whether or not the exemption for religion should be removed as a protection for hate speech in Canada. So if the propagation of hateful or anti-Semitic speech, if the speaker expresses in good faith an opinion based on the belief of religious text, should that be a get out of jail free card? Essentially. And I'm saying I'm having a tough time to think of how. Now, we're getting lots of great texts on this. And you know, I mean, this is, everybody's got thoughts on this, and I appreciate that. If you think about the rise of anti-Semitism in Canada, and a lot of it has been sparked since this war took hold between Israel and Hamas. If you think about the rise of anti-Semitism, there are lots of times, we talked about this on the show, there are lots of times and ways it's got this undercurrent of religion behind it. Now, I realize this is very murky, very waist deep, hard to trudge through conversation. So my simplification is, should your religion give you a pass on criminal behavior? Because that's what we're talking about with this exemption. Now, someone had suggested on the text line, I can't find it quickly, but can you give an example? Oh, yeah, here it is right here. Ron, thanks for the text, Ron. Says, maybe give us an example, an exact example of why Liberal government wants to put this into effect. Sounds to me like they're coming up with a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. That's a fair question. That's a fair question. And I don't know if I have a specific example. We can point to, there was a protester in Calgary that was charged with hate speech, and it was over that whole chanting of "from the river to the sea." There was more involved than just that, but it was basically promoting hate speech. Now, that charge didn't go anywhere. Person was charged, but the charges were dropped, and we've seen that happen quite a few times. That might not be the case if hate speech no longer gives you protection because of your religion. So it's a 100% fair comment, Ron. Give us an example. I don't know if I have an exact example, but I also don't have an example where I think religion should give you a pass on promoting hatred. Let's go quickly to, I want to go back to the phone line. Greg, thanks so much for calling in. Your thoughts on this topic?
Well, yeah. You know, like I myself too, I'm a Christian. I've got a native buddy. He's an older fella. I look to him as an elder. He calls his Almighty the Creator. We have a lot of new Canadians. They look to Allah, and you know, we all have our form of the Almighty. But I don't care which version of the Almighty you're talking about. They wouldn't act like that. So how does that give you a pass?
That's the question. That's what you just said is kind of at the heart of what I'm talking about here. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people weighing in on this. The problem is there are, you know, and I'm generalizing, but there are a lot of people pointing at, yeah, that religion does it, without saying it's got to be the same for all, including mine, whatever mine is for you. As I've said earlier, I'm a Christian. That's the way I was born and raised and still am today. And everyone has the right to practice their own religious belief. My thought is not everyone has the right to commit a crime based on that. right? And it can get, we can get pulled off into left field on this one. And I know there's a lot of texts that are trying to go there, and I'm trying not to let us go there. James in Regina, I agree with how the criminal code defines crimes and how they've been applied, and do not think religious exemptions should be an excuse for violence. However, what if religious organization refused to hire someone based on sexual orientation or lifestyle? Will that be defined as hate speech? I don't think so, James. I mean, this is just me. I'm not the lawyer. I'm guessing it might be grounds for a human rights complaint, but I'm not thinking that would be hate speech. But maybe that's a whole other conversation. Appreciate everyone weighing in on this. We will leave it there for now, but I'm sure this will pop up again. This story's not going away. This is still making its way through the committee level in Ottawa. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our friend, Brian Zinchuk, is here for his regular monthly check-in. It is everything oil, gas, and energy production next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.